So we're going to be, tonight we're going to be zoning in on the book of Mark. And we're going to look in a little bit of detail at two characters' lives in that story and how they chose to respond to sickness and death in a miracle-working God. They actually responded to those crises in finding Jesus, which was incredible. So we're going to look at that. So fear and faith. Okay, it's pretty simple to remember. There are two incompatible responses that can't coexist together simultaneously. All right, so in plain English, that means you can't fear and have faith at the same time. Okay. So as we encounter crises and challenges in our own life, we've got a choice to make, to either give in to fear or to actually have faith and to look upwards and look towards heaven, to look towards Jesus. So as we learn to fight fear with faith in the Lord, I'm trusting that we are actually going to be equipped through what I share tonight, what God shares in His Word, and He's actually going to stir us up to walk more naturally in the supernatural. Because I think that's something that we want to see more of. I think we're hungry. I know Jesus walked in the supernatural naturally as He walked on earth. But it's something that He's got for us to do, to actually plug into that, the unseen world, to see the miracles happen, the things that are impossible for man to do. All right, so I'm not sure if you see it, but every day I'm finding that I'm needing more of His supernatural intervention than ever before. If you look at life around us in the world, how it's just becoming more and more sinful and crazy and full of robots and AI and all these kind of crazy things that we thought would only happen in the movies or, you know, in the future, it's here. You know, we almost got robots running our homes. It's not far away. So not to scare you, but to make you realize or to get you to think and actually go like, you know what, we can't make sense of this world. It's changing and evolving too quickly. And we actually need the power of God to deal with all the change and all these things that are unfolding in front of us. All right. So we're going to open our Bibles and we can put up Mark 5, verse 21 to 43. Okay, I'm going to stop my stopwatch. I don't think I've took too long now, eh? All right. Okay, it's quite a long passage of Scripture, so stick with me. It's going to be worth it. It's an awesome, awesome passage. So when Jesus got into the boat again, I'm just going to read from our one. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around Him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at His feet, pleading fervently with Him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around Him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind Him through the crowd and touched His robe, for she thought to herself, "If I can just touch His robe, I will be healed." Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she'd been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from Him, so He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to Him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But He kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of Him and told Him what she had done. And He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." While He was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told Him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith." When Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with Him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. He went inside and asked, "Why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead, she's only asleep." The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave, and he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, "Talita kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened, and then he told them to give her something to eat. Sure. So, faith or fear. Those are the two options we have. Those are the two choices we can respond with, or two attitudes we can respond with to the things that happen in our walk and our journey with Jesus. This woman was bleeding. She was bleeding, but she was full of faith. She had tried everything else. She'd been bleeding for 12 years. She'd spent all of her money on doctors, and Jesus was her last resort. She reached out to Jesus with faith and expectation that he could heal her. So verse 33, I'm just going to read that again. It says here, 33 to 34. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." So you can imagine, you can imagine how she felt, like what she'd been going through to that point to actually be healed. She was overwhelmed. It was a mixture of emotions. She couldn't believe that she'd been healed. She didn't know what to do with herself, and she was scared. She was frightened of Jesus. And in a sense, she had so much faith to almost draw the healing out of Jesus, and he had responded to her faith. But at the same time, she almost felt fearful. And it was incredible how Jesus reassured her in that moment. He said to her, she needed to hear his encouraging words as she was disintegrating into that fear. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." So, yeah, it's just incredible that actually, even in that moment of faith, she had lots of faith and the miracle happened, yet fear still wants to come in, almost to bring disbelief that maybe I'm not healed. But Jesus reaffirmed and said, "You know what, you are healed." Then the second character we look at that story was Jairus. Jairus was desperate. He came in humility, dropped to his knees, and he cried out to Jesus. He knew and believed that Jesus could heal his daughter. Even if we have faith, it's going to be tested as we walk with Jesus. So you can see in the story that Jairus, he had asked Jesus, he was like the first person as he hops out the boat. Jairus was there. He was like, "Jesus, come and heal my daughter." Then Jesus moves through the crowd, and then there's this delay. You know, Jesus is always looking out for the one. The lady pushes through the crowd, and suddenly he feels this power going out of him. He's like, "Whoa, Jairus has asked me to heal his daughter, but this person is important. She's reaching out to me." He's not worried. He exists outside space and time. He knew what was going on. He knew Jairus' daughter was going to die. But he was in control. He knew what was happening. And Jairus had to believe that. He was tested. We have to believe, like, is Jesus in control? Even when he says he's going to heal, he's on his way to come and heal us. He's coming to our house. But something else more urgent drops into time and space, and he has to do something. So while he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. In verse 35, says that they told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." So imagine how that just tanked his faith. Like, he just went from, the reincarnated Jesus is walking with me to my house. He's coming to come and heal my daughter. And now suddenly these messengers are coming and saying, "No, it's too late. Your daughter's dead." So what do we do? Boom. You know, when disaster strikes our lives, suddenly everything falls apart. His daughter dies. Jesus has stopped. He's delayed. You know, when somebody dies, it's not like there's no kind of lead time to just resurrect that person. When they're dead, that's over. You know, it's the end. And I think most of us in our sane minds, we would actually have said, "You know what, Jesus, you're a busy guy. You're the king of the universe. You're the Messiah. You've come to rescue the world. You've come to die on a cross. Please, your time's limited. Your ministry is only going to last for a short time." I mean, he predicted he's going to die. He's coming to die on a cross. But Jairus didn't listen to the messengers. He didn't listen to their advice, saying, no, you know, stop, don't bother the teacher anymore. He listened to Jesus' voice in that moment. He didn't listen to the messengers and their report of death. But he chose to listen to Jesus' word, which was louder. Jesus said to them in that moment, it's like that crisis of fear and faith. It's like, I've got faith, but fear is wanting to come and overwhelm me. And Jesus, he's so kind in that moment. He says, but Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe. And I was chatting with Shant earlier, but you might almost think that's harsh of Jesus, you know. Obviously, he's going to be fearful. I mean, his daughter's just died. But he had to choose in that moment. You can't have fear and have faith at the same time. Don't be afraid, just believe. So just do the one thing. Just believe, Jairus. You need to just believe at this time. If you have fear, faith is going to disappear. Have you noticed that? As soon as you give in to fear, it's like your faith's gone. Jesus, where are you? I'm trying to do this in my own strength. It's overwhelming. It's too hectic. So we need to open our ears to the truth of his word. His word is still speaking today. Jesus isn't physically walking with us, but his Holy Spirit is. And he's given us his word. He's given us the truth. And we need to make decisions based on the truth of his word. Okay, so importantly, Jairus, he didn't allow his emotions or his flesh to rule him in that moment. He would have felt, imagine the emotions. I mean, imagine Dylan's leading a congregation. He's like a synagogue leader. You know, Rosie's just died at home. Imagine how he feels. Imagine the emotions. I mean, I know Dylan, he'll be distraught. He'll be like, I mean, he's a man of faith, but he's feeling the emotion in that point. But he didn't allow the emotions to rule him. And I think Dylan, I know he's quite level-headed. I think he would be like Jairus. Okay. And then Jesus says, then going back to verse 41 and 42, he says, I'm going to come back to that. But the incredible thing is that, just moving on from his emotions, was that as the crowds, he got home, the crowds were wailing. They were making a commotion. They were giving in to their emotions. They were letting fear rule them. They were like, this is terrible. This is the worst, you know. But Jairus, again, he didn't allow the people around him, their emotions, to affect him. He dealt with his own emotions. He dealt with people's emotions, their opinions, what they thought. And he realized that actually this timeline for the healing of my daughter is not going to be in my timeline. This lady with bleedings jumped in the way. My daughter's died. We've got all this chaos at home. But he still had Jesus with him. And Jesus took control. He allowed him to actually, in that moment, to take control of the situation and say, you know what, God, you are with me. I'm just going to take a step back. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to walk trustingly, holding your hand, and we're going to go into the room where my daughter is lying dead. Okay, so holding her hand, he said to her, this is Jesus, Talita kum, which means little girl, get up. And the girl who was 12 years old immediately stood up and walked around. And they were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Eh? Yeah, imagine being in that room. So usually, when we're walking with Jesus, we think, you know, Jesus, like, your answer's too late. Your timing wasn't the way we expected it. Like, I went down to the lake. My name's Jairus. I was like, come on, Jesus, you come and heal my daughter. We're just going to walk to the house, boom, healed, and then it's all finished. But there's this testing, you know. Things come in the way. Life happens. We live in a sinful world. There's the unexpected. Expect the unexpected with God. And those things are sent to test us. Are we still going to hold on? Are we going to trust him for healing? And that's the amazing thing in the Bible. If you look through the Bible at the healing of Jesus in Mark, Mark it actually records 18 miracles, guys. It's such a cool book to read. But there's no formula for healing in the Bible. And that's what I love about Jesus. He's not a system. We can't just go, okay, we're going to pray in the name of Jesus, and then suddenly somebody's going to be healed. There's not every time we have to say, oh, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Jesus spat and touched people's eyes. He took mud out the ground and put them on people. He did all sorts of weird and wonderful things because He was a creative God. He's a person. He's not a system. Okay, so that's the first point. How are we gonna respond? How are we responding in these moments of crisis in our life as we walk with Jesus? Are we responding with faith, or are we giving into fear? We can't. It's either or. There's no like neutral middle ground here. Okay. All right. Then the second point I want to bring through is you might say to yourself, you know, my faith feels so little at the moment. How can I even have faith in God? Maybe some people are even sitting here tonight, you don't even have faith in God. You, like, outside the boat, you don't even know what Christianity is about. You don't know who Jesus is. Like, what are you talking about? This sounds like absolute rubbish. But even as a Christian, you might think, you know, how, my faith is taking a knock, guys. Like, I'm struggling in my life. I mean, I'm not struggling, but I'm saying you might be saying that to yourself. All right. So Mark 11, verse 12. Let's have a look at that. How do we find faith? Then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. So if we're lacking faith, how do we find faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay, so we need to open up the Bible. If we're flagging in our faith, it probably means you're not reading the Bible. You're not reading the truth of God. You're allowing yourself to be shaped by Netflix or Instagram or whatever other media you're reading. What we're exposing ourselves to is really important, guys, honestly. I'm not saying you can't do those things, but let's make sure we're starting the day with some solid food, eh? We need the meat. We don't need the fluff from the gram. We need to be reading the good stuff, eh? The meat and potatoes. Okay, sorry. All right, so let's read the word. And how do we get to know the counterfeit? How do people tell the banknotes are counterfeit? The guys in the bank checking the cash. I know there's not much cash that gets dealt with these days, but they get to feel the real stuff, yeah. So when the counterfeit comes, they immediately know it because they know the truth. They know the real thing. And it's the same with the devil. When Satan brings his words, how do we know they're Satan's? They're not from God. Because we know what the real word of God is saying. Okay, we learn to recognize the enemy's voice by knowing the truth. And he'll always bring doubt, guys. That's his. He trades on doubt. I mean, from the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, Satan said, did God really say? God had already said what he said, but he was like, just threw that little seed of doubt. Did he really say? And if we want to trust God, he wants all of us. He says, but you must really believe it'll happen and have no doubt in your heart. So don't believe those little voices of doubt. When they come, you actually need to take those thoughts captive and actually speak God's word over the situation, over what's happening. So I am swinging it quite hard to like the faith. I don't want to take it to the hyper faith, word of faith, like just speak it and it's just going to be healed. Like sometimes God doesn't heal in our timing. He might not heal on earth. He might heal in heaven, you know, in the life after this. So, but I really want to, I want us to trust God. I want us to actually step out and actually move us more towards faith, going like, God, let's pray. Let's trust God for the supernatural. Let's trust God for the miracles. I mean, why not, guys? Like, it's easy to be a safe Christian, eh? Oh, God, like, oh, it's okay. Maybe God didn't really want to heal. But, like, have we really prayed? Have we gone like, God, like, we've done everything we can to trust you and pray out to you and ask you. Let's get desperate. That's the second thing. So let's read the word and let's get desperate. Okay. So I'm going to read you just a little bit of a desperate person in the Bible. Mark 10, verse 47 to 52. Okay, you guys have heard of blind Bartimaeus, eh? Some of you. All right. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, many of the people yelled at him. So they actually said, be quiet. But he only shouted louder, son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. Jesus said, "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Yo, hey? You see, Bartimaeus, he didn't care about what the other people was. You know, people might think you're crazy. They're like, "You crazy Christian. Like, why are you crying out to Jesus? Like, just take some, go to the hospital, take some flu medicine. You know, it's going to make you better." But no, Rabbi was he had a bit of a more serious problem that you can't really take medication or go to Medicross down the road to help you walk if you've been crippled your whole life. And he knew that. And he was like, "No, I'm going to trust in God." But even for the small things, guys, like for the small ailment, we might think we don't want to bother Jesus with that, but he wants to heal us, man. We got to have faith for that. So can we doggedly ask, doggedly? Sorry. That was great timing. Just thanks for making my point there. That was just on cue. Okay. Can we doggedly ask, like blind Bartimaeus, for healing? Huh? Shouting louder when the crowds were trying to stop him. They were trying to stop him bothering Jesus. They were trying to stop him. We can't stop, guys. We can't ask stopping to ask Jesus. We need to keep on going. Maybe isn't healing because we're not asking. We're not praying enough. That's not our first port of call. And I know, in my family, Shans has actually got a gift of healing. But I'm always like the guy that, I'm like, why don't we pray first? Like, if somebody is sick in my house, can we first pray? Can we not just take the gin pain and the headache's going to be gone, you know? So, because why not? I mean, look. It doesn't always work. He doesn't always heal the headache, but sometimes he does. And if we don't ask, he's not going to do it. If we're just going to trust the gin pain, then God's not going to heal the headache, right? Okay, so let's try not do things in our own strength, guys. Let's really persist in prayer and ask God for healing first. And I'm not saying throw your brains away. I mean, if you've got a headache and it's becoming a migraine and you're starting to vomit and God's not healing you, then, you know, by all means, take the gin pain. It does happen, okay. Or take your migraine cocktail. I mean, I've got a backup cocktail in my bag. Like, God does give doctors and medicines. That's okay. All right, but let's trust God, and let's persevere a bit through pain. I think we're a very pain-averse generation. Like, we can't handle pain. Just like, let's pop a pill, and let's keep on going. Okay, but let's actually ask God first, okay. All right. So, That is it, guys. It's a very short preach tonight. But I really want to provoke us, really, towards faith in a miracle-working God. And it might not be healing, you guys. It might be finances. I know finances, it's a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal in today's world. I mean, yeah, like, you don't want to give too much airtime to AI. I mean, that's already, it gives itself enough airtime. But what I'm saying is we're in a generation where things are radically changing. You know, like the whole marketplace is changing. Economics are uncertain. We need supernatural faith, not just for healing, but for provision, for all the different aspects of, we need God to come through, honestly. Okay. So our response to the living God, he stepped into earth, guys. These are facts that are recorded. I think sometimes we can read the Gospels and we go like, we lose the wonder of, like, this is actually an account. This has happened 2,000 years ago. This person called Jesus stepped into earth, and he changed the course of history forever. I mean, our timeline is actually based on the day that Jesus, when he was born, huh? The year zero, I mean, I think I might be slightly out, but it's basically when Jesus came to earth, that's when time was recorded. It was after Christ, A.D., and before Christ was B.C. So he came in to change things, and we get the honor and the privilege of actually having him live inside our hearts, guys. He's not walking outside. It's actually better. He said it's better that I go, that the Holy Spirit would come and lead you into all truth. So we've got the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey? Are some of you, do you have the Holy Spirit with you? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay, because he's going to lead you into all truth as you read that word of God. He's going to show you the way to go, the way to walk like Jairus did with Jesus, to walk into the healing, into the miracles. Eh? Okay, so our response to that living God today, guys, it can't be neutral. Like if we meet with Jesus, like things have got to change. It can't carry on the same. If you look at how he called the disciples, they left everything. They had hired hands on the beach. They were working with their father and mother. Jesus just called, he looked at them and said, come, follow me. They literally just dropped what they're doing, dropped their job. They walked out on their boss, their family, their way of earning income, and they just walked and followed Jesus. Hey? I mean, that's what we got to do as well. We got to follow. It might not make sense to the world around us, but we are following Jesus. Okay, so are we living with faith in God, or are you allowing fear to rule us? That's a question you need to ask yourselves today. I need to ask myself, are we living with faith in God, or are we allowing fear to rule us? Are we expectant for the supernatural moves of Jesus today with our hearts full of faith, or have we got hearts full of fear? Are we expectant for him to move? And then how do we find faith? How do we find faith in God? Whose words are we believing when we respond to our own crises? When we walk out the door on Monday, a crisis might hit us. How are we going to respond to that? Are we going to phone Dylan and Heike? Or are we going to phone Jules and Chantel? Don't leave, yeah. What are we going to do? We can't always turn to man. We need to turn to Jesus first. Hey? Ask him. He's the one. He's the powerful one. He's the one that's able to step in. That's what Jairus did. That's what the woman with the bleeding did. I'm not saying we shouldn't ask opinions of leaders, but I'm saying let's first turn to Jesus. Okay? And let's follow the opinions of the Bible, what the Holy Spirit is showing us to do, rather than what people think. I'm not saying we shouldn't be accountable, but let's ask God what he thinks first. Okay, so all right, so I want to provoke you guys. Those are the two things that I want you to take away. I'm trusting God that we're going to walk more naturally.